This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll be talking with the national president and CEO of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. But first, according to a new study, a college degree is worth $1 million. When comparing those who have a high school education to those who have a college education, workers tend to make $1 million more during the course of their career. The gap isn't just between high school and college education. The income gap between the lowest paid college majors and the highest paid is $3 million. This shows that not all majors are created equal. The highest paid are architecture and engineering, and the lowest are education. Higher paid majors earn an average of $65,000 a year compared to education, about $39,000 a year. Human services with $41,000 a year, performing arts $42,000 a year, religious jobs $43,000 a year, and community service about $45,000 a year. These earnings in different industries can also vary state to state. The Social Security Administration released its annual list of the most popular baby names in America. Emma and Noah topped the list, and Olivia and Liam came in second. The most popular girls' names in the last 5 years, Sophia and Isabella, lost some ground and came in third and fourth on the list. Well, let's run it down for you. Number 10 for the girls, Charlotte, followed by Madison, Abigail, Emily, Mia, Ava, Isabella, Sophia, Olivia, and Emma, number one. For the little boys, it's Daniel, James, Alexander, Michael at number seven. Thank you very much. Number six, Ethan, followed by William at five, Jacob at four, Mason at three, Liam comes in number two, and number one, Noah. A high-tech bra could essentially replace your doctor. The bra can measure your stats like your heart and respiratory rate. You can collect enough data to have a general charting of your overall health. The wearable clothing is made with tiny threads of silver that can carry data through them. These threads can be woven into any kind of clothing and interact with an app on your mobile device. Smart Life is ready to launch both smart t-shirts and bras September 2015. Millennials love their smartphones, but one thing they don't do that much is use them to talk. One expert says millennials use the phone as an interruption. Picking up the phone without emailing first can make it seem as though you're prioritizing your needs over theirs. A psychologist says millennials grew up with email, text, and instant messaging, so they're going to naturally be more anxious talking on the phone. Video games, pornography, and social isolation are an unhealthy mix for today's young men. This according to a leading psychologist who warns that young men's brains are being digitally rewired. Philip Zimbardo, a professor emeritus at Stanford University, analyzed the results of an in-depth study of 20,000 young men. He explains our focus is on young men who play video games to excess and do it in social isolation. They are alone in their room. And now with freely available pornography, which is unique in history, they are combining playing video games and as a break watching on average 2 hours of porn a week. He says young men are suffering from a new form of addiction and a psychological change in mindset. They pine for video games at school and desire pornography even when women are around because with porn they never get rejected. He claims young men are also experiencing porn-induced erectile dysfunction, although Psychology Today finds no scientific connection between ED and porn. Still, the professor says parents should limit young men's internet and computer use. Waist trainers are the new fad, but fitness experts say they can be dangerous. The corset-like item is worn to help slim the waist and is popular among celebrities. One fitness expert says all it really does is compress the fat and squish it in, but as soon as you take it off, the fat comes back. She also says that people who wear them are scrunching their organs, your digestive tract, your intestines, and everything, so you can certainly affect your digestion. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Seymour Hersh claims President Obama lied when he said the U.S. pulled off the bin Laden raid without help. Hersh quotes former American and Pakistani intelligence sources, as well as Navy SEALs, as he claims that the White House and the CIA repeatedly lied to the public about nearly every aspect of the Osama bin Laden raid. Among the claims that the Pakistanis had been essentially holding bin Laden captive at his compound for years. The CIA learned of bin Laden's location from a Pakistani intelligence official who tipped off American operatives hoping to claim the $25 million bounty on the terror leader, not from the interrogation of an al-Qaeda courier. Top American officials negotiated with Pakistani officials to let them carry out the operation and kill bin Laden on Pakistani soil. There was no firefight during the SEAL raid, according to Hirsch. The only shots fired were those that killed bin Laden, who was unarmed. And after he was killed, bin Laden was not buried at sea, but instead buried in Afghanistan. All this according to reporter Seymour Hirsch. The president and CEO of Make-A-Wish is David Williams, based in Phoenix, Arizona, a guy in love with his job.
You have a unique job. Literally, nobody else has this job in the world.
That's true, I feel very fortunate. I have been, like Tom Conklin, I've been in the position for about 10 years, and it's really a privilege because in this job, I really get to meet some extraordinary people. And I get to meet the children whose wishes we grant, and just as extraordinary, the parents and siblings of these kids who are going through it just like these kids are. But I also get to spend time with the people that make it happen, the volunteers and the people who contribute financially, and they're extraordinary people. And it's just one of those, I think everybody's heard of Make-A-Wish, but I don't know that they know exactly how it works. And it's done by volunteers and private donations, and it's a privilege to be part of it.
Now, what did you do prior to becoming the head of Make-A-Wish?
So I've been in nonprofit organizations for about 30 years. I was with Habitat for Humanity International for about 10 years, and then I helped get an organization started in Houston, Texas, called the Houston Food Bank. But prior to that, I was a mediocre accountant working for the Shell Oil Company, and the only good thing that happened there was that I met my wife. She was my supervisor, but we both determined that accounting was not my, should not be in my future. I did not have a passion for it. What I did have a passion for was the various organizations that I volunteered with. And so at a very young age, I had the opportunity to work for a nonprofit organization. And so I've been doing it ever since.
And what drew you to Make-A-Wish? I saw that piece that you did with CBS this morning, and you spoke so eloquently about the impact it has on people. Is that what struck you?
It did. And, you know, I didn't know that. So every organization I'd been involved with, I'd been a volunteer first, and then I joined the staff. Make-A-Wish was different. I didn't know anything about it. And frankly, my impression of Make-A-Wish was that it was kind of a nice thing. It was nice that a kid got to go to Disney World. But I did not realize the impact on not just that child, but on the entire family. And that it wasn't just for a day or for a couple days, but it was an impact that lasted a lifetime. And when I learned that, then all of a sudden, it's not a nice thing. It's an important thing. It's a necessary thing. And it's something that we're seeing more and more people in the medical community being much more strategic about when they grant these wishes. And so you have a doctor who essentially sits down with a child and parents and says, listen, you're going to have 6 months of chemotherapy. You're going to have another 6 months of radiation. You're going to have surgery. You're going to have all these things coming up. But if you do everything that we tell you to do, you're going to be strong enough to go on your wish. So let's have your wish take place, you know, whenever. But think about that, because it goes to show how powerful these experiences are. And we all know how powerful hope is. If you don't have hope, then, man, it's hard to keep going. But you give these kids a little bit of hope and thinking about the future, anything's possible.
And you gave explanation to the false impression that this is a last wish in every case. It really isn't.
It's not. And the reason I think the impression is there is because for the first 15 years of this organization, that was the mission of the organization. It was a last wish. You had to have a terminal diagnosis. But that changed about 20 years ago. It just goes to the power of first impressions, though, that so many people still have that misconception. And of course, that hurts us when it comes to approaching families, because if in their mind they think this is for a kid who's not going to make it, well, look, every kid's first wish and every parent's first wish is that their kid is going to get better. So if all of a sudden Make-A-Wish is coming along and they have the impression that they only help kids that don't make it, man, I'm going to get as far away from you as possible. So we have to do a lot of explaining that's not who we are. We help kids with a life-threatening medical condition. Now, the reality is, most kids, because of science and all the advances that we've seen, more and more kids are surviving their illness. But there are some kids that don't.
And you rattled off some statistics that were absolutely staggering about Make-A-Wish.
So we just granted our 250,000th wish just a few months ago, and we grant a wish every 38 minutes somewhere in the United States. And again, it's remarkable that most of the work is done by volunteers. Now, we certainly have some staff that are kind of behind the scenes, but these wish granters and these fundraisers and the people out here who are donating, they're contributing. And that's what I think makes it so special, because you have people that are giving their time and they bring their creativity and their passion for this organization to each and every wish. And we try to do it one at a time, because each and every wish is special. Each and every child is special. And we never want to be a cookie cutter kind of organization. We want it to be something that nobody's going to forget. This sure beats having to deal with personnel issues at the national office. And so to be able to come out and to be able to meet people who are so passionate about the organization, that fills me up. And so it's really great to be here.
And with David Williams, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend. America
Weekend. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.